Somebody has got to take the blame, don't they? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is my co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Since me and the dog are the only males in a house full of women and the dog sort of sides with them, I guess I'm the one who always gets the blame.
Well, it's nice to know that you've got that figured out, that you're the one who gets the blame. But ladies and gentlemen, anytime it happens, as we've been talking this week about the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, there's always people out there who want to place the blame on anybody or anything but the perpetrator. You see, this one's not too hard to figure out, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real simple common sense thing. Perpetrator A, who is in custody and who's admitted that, yes, he did it, and that he took and shot and killed 12 people and injured, I think the number now is around 58, Charles, and that he did it, and he explained to him how he did it, but he hasn't said why he did it yet. But that doesn't seem to be good enough for some of the folks in the liberal media, Charles, because it doesn't fit. Here's a person who had an issue, who decided to take it out on other people. We've caught him, and now we're going to put him through and have justice declared upon him. They want to use it as a sounding board for going after other people and other things. And that's what we saw in an article from Newsbusters, which is the Media Research Center's website, newsbusters.org, from a column by their correspondent by the name of Noel Shepard, who was taking a look at what was happening over this last weekend. The Sunday morning, all the political talk shows go on, Chuck. You can flip back and forth between channels and see all kinds of interesting, well, shall we say, creative story writing. I guess is the best way to put these political.
Remember that that's the church service for the unchurched who believe in American civic religion.
Yep.
That's what that's for. Yeah, I agree with you. What's interesting about the piece that we're going to talk about is that there are a number of liberals on the panel, and it's pretty clear that they don't come up against informed conservatives very often. Here's what happens in a lot of these places where these guys work. Joe Klein, I think, works for the New York Times. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, the New York Times, yes.
For instance, George Stephanopoulos. Well, these guys travel in a very tight circle, and it's a very rarefied atmosphere. They've convinced themselves that conservatives are idiots, and they don't hang around with them. And sometimes that makes them very vulnerable when they come into debate situations with people who do know what they're talking about, especially conservatives. And that's what happens on this panel that we're going to be talking about today. It's George Will, who is, well, conservative? Well, I don't think so. He's got the cred for some unknown reason. The Washington Post Jennifer Rubin, and I'm not sure where she sits on the political spectrum. I would call these probably center to slightly center left.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear that the logical fallacies that are being uttered are just simply not going to fly in this argument. And again, what we see is the attempted exploitation of a tragedy for political gain. These people have been trying to figure out a way to ban guns, and the only reason they want to ban guns is because guns in the hands of an armed citizenry is dangerous to totalitarianism. And these guys, let's be quite upfront about it. Whether they think they are or not, they're totalitarians. What they want is absolute power, and they want to be able to dictate to you what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll watch, what you'll do with your free time. If you don't want to do that, then they want to be able to use armed force against you. And therefore, to be able to do that effectively, you can't be armed because you might actually shoot back. Now, that may sound paranoid, but that's exactly what's going on in countries that have banned guns. Britain, Russia, Germany. You can name dozens of countries. Mexico, as we talked about last week. That's the entire agenda. Get the guns away so that power can be exercised without fear of opposition. And so we use tragedies like this. We have a young man who's obviously insane. And the first thing that ABC News tries to do is pin it on the Tea Party.
Yeah, that was the first shot. On Friday or Saturday, Brian Ross and George Stephanopoulos from ABC News decided to try to create a specious claim that because the gentleman by the name of
Jim Holmes
was listed on the Colorado Tea Party's website, that was a causal link between James Holmes, the Aurora shooter, and the Tea Party. Well, that certainly came out of the water extremely quickly, Charles, because not only is that bad investigative journalism, it's actually, I would say if I was Jim Holmes for the Colorado Tea Party, I might be interested in suing ABC News for defamation of character.
Oh, absolutely. It's actionable. There's no doubt about that, Barry. It is. And if the guy isn't thinking about it, if he got any kind of a threat, or if there's been any kind of repercussion whatsoever, if suddenly he finds himself with trouble at his work or something along that line, he needs to sue Brian Ross and George Stephanopoulos because the buck stops at Stephanopoulos's door. Stephanopoulos was the host who let him go on and announced this discovery of a possible link. Well, you don't announced discoveries of possible link. But Barry, I've got all kinds of stories floating around over here about this James Holmes and what he was involved with, but you and I have not discussed it on the air because there's no substantiation.
And that's exactly right. There's no substantiation to it. And honestly, Charles, like I said, if you are just looking at this from a purely news standpoint and a purely human standpoint, the issue is that you have a young man who obviously had some disturbing thoughts, who acted out in a violent manner against people who were not against him in any way, who tragically took the lives of a dozen people and injured scores of others. But yet, that's not the focus. We're not focusing so much on that issue in the news media, but we're focusing on who else can we throw the net around to blame for this issue, and how can we use it to create political policy to protect our preferred philosophies. And
exactly.
That's what Joe Klein, who is from the New York Times, was trying to do on Sunday on ABC's This Week. Funnily, but he soon got a taste of what it means to actually run up against somebody who can think beyond soundbite.
Miller in Aurora, Colorado is very intelligent and farsighted and meticulous. I defy you to write a gun control law that would prevent someone like this with a long time horizon and a great planning capability from getting the arms he wants. I just think this is a mistake.
Joe gave us
a theory, an empirical theory, for which there is or is not evidence, which is that the globalization of coarsening and entertainment will cause or is causing, I don't know what your point was, things like this to happen more and more. These are testable hypotheses. Let's test them.
I think it's undoubtedly true that we're seeing more frequent incidents like this in this country. It's all part of a zeitgeist. I mean, you know, we're on a national sugar rush in this country. The internet is part of it. You know, the entertainment industry is part of it. The irresponsibility about gun laws is part.
Okay, I'm going to stop the tape right there, and I'm going to make a comment. George Will just basically stepped in and said, okay, smart guy, you're making all these charges. Where's your data? Where's your evidence? And what does Klein go into?
Well, he immediately tries to change the subject.
Right. We're on a national sugar rush. It's the internet. It's irresponsible gun laws. And see, we're going back to the meme. Just keep repeating it over and over and over and over and over and over. And eventually, somebody might bite. Well, look, we're rapidly becoming very split in this country over this issue. There are people who are against private ownership of guns. And when you ask them why, it's because I think they're scary and I don't know anything about them. And when you ask people who are pro-private gun ownership why, a large percentage of them can state to you the Second Amendment, why the Second Amendment is there, why they believe in the right to keep and bear arms, and how you practice basic gun safety. So again, our side always gets painted with the brush that our arguments are simplistic and rather silly. The other side, when they get challenged, shows that they really don't have anything. And that's what's going on here. Okay, back with the tape.
Part of it. I mean, it's all together.
Listen, we can make all the declarative statements we want. There is no shortage of empirical data in criminology. In fact, it's one of the most researched areas of social science. When we had the gun law, the assault ban weapon, there wasn't a decrease. When we let it expire, there wasn't an increase. We've had a gradual decline over the last 40 years in gun violence and all kinds of violence, in part because of better policing, in part because of incarceration. So I think some of these statements that we're having more of these incidents, they simply aren't true. And I think, yes, we should look at reasonable regulations.
They are happening every month.
And they are more violent, and they're more violent because we arm these people with weapons that are meant for combat only.
Let me just note how...
Okay, did you hear that, Barry? These weapons
yes,
are made
I did,
for...
as a matter of fact.
Let's talk about what's wrong with that statement. All weapons are made in some form or another for some form of combat, correct?
Well, but they're also made for hunting. They're also for home defense. And they're also made for sports shooting.
I have hunting rifles and sports rifles I wouldn't want to have to take into combat. But I got pushed into a corner, I'd do it, and I could, much to the chagrin of people who really would want to restrict me, like this man who just spoke, Ted Rendell, former Democratic governor of Pennsylvania, who is a real piece of work. But he would basically restrict me to single-shot shotguns and allow the SWAT team to have full automatic weapons and grenades and explosive devices. Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about, Barry. Remember, we talked about Lexington and Concord. The reason that Lexington and Concord happened, the British are coming. Well, the reason the British were coming was to confiscate powder and ball and artillery pieces and ammunition for that. The British knew unless they confiscated those weapons, they were outgunned. And that's the thing we're getting into now. This is what what Ed Rendell and Joe Klein and George Stephanopoulos would like to see happen. He wants to see the government be able to outgun the citizenry. Because after all, freedom is a concept that we've got, and it's not going away. And just because we promise that we're going to be good with our weapons when you're unarmed.
Well, Chuck, one of the things that I picked up in that statement is something that Klein was trying to say. Well, these things are coming more and more. I'm seeing it all the time now. He says it's happening monthly, as though it's something that doesn't already have happened. We've had incidences all over the country. Think about it, we're a country of over 300 million people. There are incidences all the time, everywhere. But it's only the ones the media want to pick up on that they feel like can make a splash for their liberal philosophies that they choose to blow up. Now, I heard a saying one time, it said that a lot of things happen in this world, but the ones that the media decides to highlight are the ones that become national emergencies or a national cause to be dealt with. And we have to be careful not to let the media play us in determining how we move as a country.
Well, think about it this way. The media will defend itself by saying, well, dog bites man is not a story. Man bites dog is a story. Man has been biting dog quite a bit. For instance, you and I passed a story back and forth that came out of American Vision News that's entitled The Original Aurora Shooting, Stopped by a Concealed Carry Hero. Nobody I've talked to has heard of this story. April 22nd of this year, 2012, a convicted felon just out of jail went to an Aurora, Colorado church and shot and killed a member of the congregation before being killed himself by a congregant carrying a gun. Okay, how many people was that guy planning on killing? How do we know that this fellow wasn't stopped from shooting 70 people in this church? And the answer is, we don't know. And that's what I'm saying, Barry. This is a dog bites man story. In other words, as far as they're concerned, a tragedy was prevented, and therefore it's not newsworthy. The only thing newsworthy is a tragedy. And then, not only have we got a non-newsworthy story, but the argument is clear. Concealed carry worked in this case.
Yeah,
it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It stopped someone who was bent on destruction. The same thing can be said for this 71-year-old man who stopped an armed robbery. I had to laugh at the headline of a thing I came across on the Drudge Report after that, that basically said, well, the prosecutors come out and said that they're not going to press charges against this man. Press charges against him for what? For using his concealed weapon for what it is concealed for? Self-defense and the defense of those around him? See, that's the beauty of Castle Doctrine. Because most Castle Doctrines are not only are you to defend yourself, you are to defend those around you. And that's, I'm sure, what kept this guy from being prosecuted. Because I can remember cases in the 70s and 80s where people used a gun to protect themselves and to protect others and were prosecuted and jailed for using a gun for self-protection. Barry, there's something deeply and gravely wrong with that.
Oh, absolutely. When we have a situation where the laws are protecting the criminals more than the general populace or the law-abiding citizens, we've got a big problem here. But again, Joe Klein's answer to everything, and I think George Stephanopoulos is too, from this news program, is that we just need stronger gun control laws. If we have more laws, we will prevent more things from happening. Now, Chuck, I've been around policymaking and legislative activity for almost 20 years, and the more laws you pass doesn't create less crime out there. It doesn't stop much of anything. It just makes more people who beforehand were not criminal into criminals because no law can be written with such laser precision as to only take the people who it's actually targeted toward. It's usually more generic, more sweeping, more broad in its approach, and therefore many people who would not normally have been considered to be in violation of a certain law will find themselves in violation of the new law.
And there's always enough Elliot Spitzers and Mike Nifongs and this woman who's persecuting George Zimmerman down in Florida to use the law to make a career for themselves. And that's exactly the problem that you face. You find a crusader who wants to use the law to make a name for themselves. Luckily, guys like Mike Nifong and Elliot Spitzer end up falling on their own sword, and for good reason. Hopefully the same will happen to this woman who's persecuting George Zimmerman down in Florida. That's my personal opinion. I don't know if you share it or not. It doesn't matter to me. Unfortunately, Barry, on this issue today, we're out of time. And we didn't get through that whole thing. We got the good parts.
Well, I think we gave our listeners enough to realize that, yes, there's an agenda out there, and yes, it's being pressed in the midst of a tragedy when we should be focusing on helping the community to heal, bringing the criminal to true justice, and making sure that we have a situation where others who would think about doing this would think twice about it because of how swift the response is.
And we also showed that the media is willing to beat the drum with something they think they can make hay with, and they're willing to ignore what they know destroys their case. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policy.